Immorality may be fun, but it's not fun enough to take the place of 100% virtue and 3 square meals a day. I can't do Everett Horton, so that's me.
Maybe if you took him out for some drinks.
Well, I'm sure that would have been possible. He's one of those eligible bachelors, is what they used to call them in Hollywood.
Before they had Tiger Beat magazine?
Yeah.
I'm Justin Sowler.
I'm Ken Hankey. We are Elitist Bastards.
We've been to the movies.
Yes, and we're coming to you from a hidden location. I saw Friends with Benefits, which was a surprisingly good movie.
I watched little pieces of that today. It seemed
surprisingly good. It's a second film by this Will Gluck person who made that rather disastrous Fired Up movie. You saw it.
Was that the cheerleader?
Yes.
See, that didn't have. It wasn't all bad. I remember.
Well, I read your review again, and I noticed that certain things like an avoidance of homophobia and an avoidance of certain kinds of raunchy jokes and gross-out humor appear to actually have started with Fired Up. And there's none of that in...
I remember, actually, there being the sort of frat boy character that was kind of funny because it was, like, the ultimate frat boy character. Well, that's really all I remember about that.
The thing about this is that it's... It's clever, it's smart, it's very R-rated, but it never goes for anything stupidly gross. It's like there's not a big food poisoning, diarrhea, puke scene like in Bridesmaids, for example, which I didn't find funny, I just found disgusting.
That's what Captain America should have had.
Was a puke scene or a diarrhea scene? Diarrhea joke in Captain America. That'd be really
Red
something.
Red Skull should have gotten...
Well, I want to see how Captain America gets out of that suit to deal with such a problem. Anyway, it was, you know, I mean, it was charming, it was funny, I liked the characters, everything about it was a terrific cameo for Emma Stone, who had been in Easy A, which was another really good film that Gluck did last year. And I mean, I'm really getting to a point where it's like, yeah, this guy's worth paying attention to, and I think it's probably going to continue that way. Things about it that really impressed me were... These people were entirely of a generation that I can't relate to. Their musical references meant nothing to me. All their texting and all the rest of this stuff is the sort of thing that normally I would find annoying. And I still like them. And so I find that was, to me, that's kind of like a really major accomplishment to get somebody like me to like a movie where there's a song by Death Cab for Cutie on the soundtrack, which means less than nothing to me except that they stole their name from a Bonzo Dog Band song. You know, that's all they mean to me.
Well, now you can quit asking if they sound like the Bonzo Dog Band.
Well, they don't sound anything like the Bonzo Dog Band, so I don't know why they called themselves Death Cab for Cutie. Except they obviously had some sort of dearth of creativity.
They're being obscure.
Yeah, they're being obscure, okay.
Sure.
But no, I mean, it's the sort of thing. I mean, I would really recommend this film. I think it's unfortunate this film's not done better than it has. But, of course, we are up and, you know, everybody went to see Captain America, I guess. So.
Yes.
And those who didn't finally caught Harry Potter, so... But go see it. Everybody in it is good. The movie's good. I also saw Page One, Inside the New York Times, which is a documentary about Inside the New York Times. And it's a surprisingly...
How deep inside?
Oh, it's pretty deep. And it's a surprisingly entertaining and in many ways compelling film that benefits from having this man named David Carr at its center, because it gives you something to latch on to, and it has the dramatic core of the film, and this is something that if a documentary doesn't have some sort of drama going on in it, it usually just kind of lays there like a landed fish and flops around. Well, this is you know, this has him essentially the whole thing about bringing down the Chicago Tribune when they were taken over and became such a joke and were being run by this, it was referred to as a frat boy mentality, of sexual harassment by these people that knew nothing about newspapers and cared even less and came from radio. And that really kind of formed the center of the film. The biggest problem is that it's a film that, of course, has no answer, because it really wants to put forth the idea of, oh, Jesus Christ, the world would be just such an awful place without the New York Times. And it hasn't really... I mean, I kind of am in sympathy with that.
But you missed the crossword.
I'd miss the crossword, but I don't even do the crossword much anymore.
You're part of the problem, Ken.
Well, no. If the crossword was put in the Mountain Express in such a way that it could be done online, I would do the crossword again. But I don't believe that's possible. Anyway,
Steve can look into it.
Yeah, Steve should definitely look into that.
Ken, all his years.
I don't care
service.
About anybody else, but you know, I want it. So, but
and that way, when they put the wrong clues in, it'll be online,
and you can fix it. Yeah, neat. But be that as it may, the film is I don't know that it does make that case compellingly. I'm old-fashioned enough that I don't like to see the end of print media. I don't, you know, I do not find unchecked blogging, undigested Twittering, tweeting, whatever the hell it's called, and this whole bizarre, stupid concept of the citizen journalist. Come on, it's mostly the crackpot journalist. It doesn't matter that they're citizens. They shouldn't be allowed to be on the internet, most of these people that post stuff.
What about, instead of citizen journalism, illegal alien journalism?
There you go. Would that be okay? How about illegal alien journalism? No, I mean, the whole thing is just ridiculous. I mean, there are a lot of people in this world I don't want to have a dialogue with. I really prefer my stuff to be professionally vetted by people who know what they're doing. I don't want a bunch of endless slop being paraded at me as news. And, you know, in that respect, I like the idea of newspapers and editors and people paying attention to what's going on. And I don't think the internet is ever going to have that. So, yeah, I'd like to see newspapers continue. Am I convinced that the world will end as we know it if the New York Times shuts down? No, I'm not. But the documentary is watchable, it's fun, it's entertaining, that's rare for a documentary. They didn't convince me to pay for their paywall. And a lot of it seems to be an ad for getting you to pony up for that paywall they just put in. So I suppose it failed in that regard.
What is it about Carr's persona or what he talks about that carries the film through?
David Carr is like a character out of the front page. He's like your old-style, hard-drinking, cynical, savvy, says clever things, and in his case also has a raspy voice. He's also this man who has made himself over. He was a crack addict. He was about to go to jail for cocaine possession. And in fact, there's at one point they're walking along the street and he points to this guy who's collapsed on a bench and says, "That was me." And so he's somebody who is willing, obviously, to adapt. I mean, he in fact does adapt to some of the tools of modern journalism. So it gives you somebody to care about, because the guy is likable and he's entertaining. Most of the other people that you see, you don't see long enough to really care, and that might be wise on the part of the filmmakers.
So, what did you see, Steve? Did you see anything?
Yeah, it's like Captain America. It's good. I liked it.
Did you really like it?
Yeah, that was fun. My expectations were a lot lower than yours.
No, mine were pretty low.
I
you didn't
my
get the sense that it was
incredible.
Did you think it was really stupid, or am I the only one that?
I
or is it supposed to not?
It's. I didn't think it was stupid. I just thought it was. I mean, it was not. It was not what I call a work of high cinema by any stretch. So I guess we'll start by saying you saw Captain America.
Yes, I saw Captain America, which
I
didn't really.
Steve Shanafelt, by the way, the producer. And I'm talking because I saw Captain America.
And you've seen Captain America.
I have.
I haven't seen
and
Captain
I
America.
I discuss this with someone because I haven't been able to.
All right, boys, have at it.
I thought it was pretty dumb. And you don't seem to disagree with that. You just were entertained more.
Yeah, I was pretty. I mean, it didn't insult. Yeah, no, I have to. It didn't. I felt like it did a good treatment to what the character is and what the story is. It wasn't insulting. It was actually pretty much...
I don't think I felt insulted. I don't know, did my review come off that way that I felt?
No, insulted? But it didn't. It definitely made it seem like you didn't think it was a very good movie.
No, no. I think it's there's whole aspects of the film that don't quite fit. Like, I understand, and I kind of wanted it to be this sort of pulpy World War II adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Except they spent the whole movie sitting there going, man, I wish I was watching Inglourious Basterds. Like, this would be... That got it right. This is sort of like, it has an idea, but then it gets stuck in this whole, like, science fiction bent, which is fine. Could work. Because we all know from watching Ancient Aliens...
The Nazis Justin's are all about... Passion. He's yeah. discovered ancient aliens with basic cable.
We all know that the Nazis were very big on the occult.
Well, yeah.
I mean, those are the funnest kind of Nazis. None of them are really
I can
fun.
I can really take it a step further. There's actually a Dennis Wheatley novel called They Used Dark Forces, which is about this very thing, about the Nazis using black magic. Of course, Dennis Wheatley was a fascist nutcase, too, right. So
I have no issue with the setup. It's how it's portrayed with these leather-clad Nazis with laser guns and helmets, and they all look like gimps. And the way that whole, like, the way it's designed doesn't fit in the film for me. Like, it's too, like, futuristic almost. Like, you get aspects of the whole, like, feel of the 40s and the technology and stuff, and then you have the Nazi stuff, and it doesn't seem to fit with the rest of the film.
I mean, to me that works just fine because it's not really, I mean, what they have is alien in that setting, and it's so far beyond what, you know.
But
I mean,
it doesn't look like, if you were in the 40s and had built a laser gun, that's not what it looks, I feel like any of that stuff would look like. I don't feel like, and I realize it's a comic movie, so you have to shift.
Are you wanting the stuff to look vintage? Like an old Flash Gordon serial or something?
Yeah, or just not have these guys. Like, I don't... Nazis dress better than that. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah, well, Nazis were flashy dressers.
I know, and these guys...
But these guys were Hydra. They weren't Nazis. They were beyond Nazis. They were their
own. Well, then they would be even better dressers, wouldn't they?
That was really bad.
I liked it because, I mean, I felt like the present... I didn't think the CGI of... Steve Rogers, Chris Evans is really all that bad. I mean, it looked
a
lot worse.
Distracting to me.
Really?
A lot of that. Well,
it looks
really
awful in the trailer.
Yeah.
It looked a lot. I was surprised. I think the problem is
his voice is too deep.
Yes, it is definitely.
Because you're like, oh, it's just his head floating around on some kid. Like, it's full grown Chris Evans. Like, it's really distracting.
Is it really him on somebody else's body? I mean, is that it has to be.
Well, it's his head.
He said in an interview that they actually did it where they physically shrunk. There may have been multiple issues, but they were actually shrinking his body down.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm trying to envision. You know, this is like Kate Bosworth on a surfboard with somebody else's head crafted on.
I didn't think it was that bad. It looks a lot worse in the trailer than the final product did. I thought.
I would disagree with that, but I think it's a matter of what you're willing to go with in that case.
I mean, for me, what I wanted to see was exactly what I got. I wanted to see someone tell, essentially, the Captain America story.
Right. Well, I do think, and this is a problem I have with the Green Lantern movie, I feel like there's a better sequel than there is. And the whole thing is, like, they're setting up for sequel, and...
So, in other words, you just watched a two-hour advert for another movie.
Not only that, but there's, like, a sequel where this guy is in the present day, which I don't even know what we'll get now because you got the Avenger.
It's interesting.
I have one question.
Yeah.
Does a lot of shit blow up neat?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then it's obviously a success.
It wasn't... I mean, it's not... on the scale of actual cinema, like, if we were comparing this to any movie that you would give 5 stars to, any actual, like, cinematic...
A real movie.
Yes. Yeah, if you're comparing it to a real movie, this is at best a C. If you're comparing it to other films in the genre that it's in the summer blockbuster, especially within the comic book realm, give it like a B, B plus, something like that. It's fine for what it is.
See, I wouldn't, obviously.
Yeah.
But I don't. I feel like there's ways of doing that sort of like goofy, dumb action movie, serial, pulpy kind of thing better, and I've seen it done better. I expect it to be done better.
I completely agree with you.
I demand it be done better.
It's not up to the standard. Of, say, Indiana Jones. It's not in that same realm by any stretch. And
it borrows an awful lot. Even from Star Wars, like...
It is better. That film was better to me than the last Indiana Jones movie film.
I haven't seen that. Well, oh wait, that one. The fourth one.
That's the one where Shia LaBeouf.
No, I could go for that one better because I feel like it all fits within a certain aesthetic.
I don't think it does. I think this one tells much. I mean, that's, again, you're the reviewer. I'm merely the producer here.
No, it wasn't meaning it. I'm not a very good one. I mean, this doesn't have anything to do with it.
What? You're not a very good producer? Why would you say that while he's in the room?
No, I'm not a very good reviewer. I don't.
Oh, well, why would you say that while you're being recorded?
There's nothing that you said in your print review that I disagreed with.
Okay.
I think my standards for this were just set differently.
Really low.
Yeah, it just doesn't... I didn't look at this as, like, this is going to be a work of art. This is going to tell a meaningful story that...
No, I didn't either, but I think
it
could be...
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
And that is, how many of this summer's comic book movies have you actually seen?
This one.
Okay, so you're comparing it to the other comic book movies of this summer is really... ridiculous.
I think it would fare worse, or I think it would fare better than Green Lantern, from what I understand.
Maybe.
Yeah. I like X-Men a lot more, even though there's some
X-Men.
Issues with that.
I saw X-Men.
It's a bit too corny at times. And
I mean...
But I like the X-Men.
I suspect I would still prefer Thor and X-Men to it, but that is partly because I just don't like Captain America.
Well, X-Men has something on its mind. I mean, X-Men's
like
really
bone
bad.
Pressing on its brain. They got rid of that when they got rid of Brett Ratner.
It has a social agenda, and that's built into the X-Men mythology. Captain America has a total agenda. Unfortunately, like you say, they didn't actually get to it in this film. What they established was the character, why you should find this guy important at all, happens in this film.
And another thing I want to bring up before I forget, because I haven't gotten a chance to talk about this yet, has anybody taken into account what could happen? I don't think it's going to, but what if this Avenger movie is shit? I mean, it is Joss Whedon.
It's not going to bomb.
I know, but...
It might be shit, but it's not going to bomb.
Right. But it's all of this push for this one movie by a guy who's never really had a hit in film, let alone, like, his TV shows always get canceled.
But he has a rabid, culty fan base.
That can't keep his TV shows on.
Exactly.
The WB or whatever he's on now.
I'm sorry, Joss Whedon is not that big of a name.
No,
he is not a household name. He doesn't mean anything to 90% of the world.
Granted, but I don't think that... I think
and I don't care how much his fans buy all the different crap that comes out of his. It's a very finite cult group. It is not a mass audience.
I hear what you're saying. On the same token of that, if you're going to hire someone to write, because what Joss Whedon does well, what he writes well, is
he writes clever dialogue that you can predict the next line of once you figure out the way he writes it.
Well, that is true. What I was actually going to say is that he writes well for ensemble casts. And his run on X-Men, for instance, did well for a reason, which is that he understands the dynamic of a group. Other writers really... If you're going to have anybody direct a movie that where a whole bunch of different, distinct personalities...
I'm not saying he shouldn't be making the movie, because he probably should. I'm just saying... It's probably not...
I'm just saying Joss Whedon fans are not going to make it into a billion-dollar blockbuster.
Probably not, but it's not going to hurt. I don't think it's going to hurt anything that Joss Whedon is on.
Probably it won't, but it is not going to be what makes it.
No, but
or
I mean,
breaks it.
I don't think any director is going to be. I mean, like, I think we're all agreed Joe Johnson is not exactly, like...
Good? No.
Yeah, I mean,
he's an adequate director.
He was fine.
Here he's below, like... Did you notice there's these strange, like, scenes they stick in between things that don't...
That are character scenes, or that
or
are...
They don't, like, towards the end, where it's... Right after, and I'm not spoiling this for anybody who knows the thing, where Captain America gets frozen, you see a kid running around with a trash can lid done up like a shield for about 3 seconds, and then it cuts to something completely different. It's like, why is this kid running around?
Well, that I thought was actually a nice little...
I did too, but it doesn't... The way it's integrated, it's like they had these... Like, he really wanted the scene in there. Like, oh, I've got this. It's going to be great. And he's like, oh, I don't... Where do I fit it? Like, I'm going to shove it in here.
Well, I thought that was good because it gave you... The sense of why Captain America was important. Like,
but I feel like
figure.
You could draw it out more, because it's just really awkward to me the way it was like in there. Because then, if I remember correct, it cuts to the future.
Yeah.
At that point, and so it's not like you could do more with.
There were a
you
lot
could
of,
do the whole VE Day sort of thing. Like, I don't know, but
there were things in there that I really appreciated them doing. I like the fact that they really spent a lot of time... I think it may just because you had Stanley Tucci playing a character. I mean, granted, his accent was a little over the top, but he actually brought a lot to that film, I thought.
Well, the cast is really good.
Well, Stanley Tucci, what do you want? You know, I mean, that's...
I mean...
I feel really bad for Hugo Weaving getting stuck in that makeup, and he can't act through it. Even he can't, like... they look like they shoved crayon wax all over his head.
Like I've said before, you know, the salvation of this entire performance would be ABBA songs. It would be. Well, and a nice frock.
I didn't think he was much of a bad guy. He didn't, to me, have the menace that I really
He's
wanted.
He's a Nazi.
He's a Hydra.
That's when you can't think of any other bad guys, you just, let's get some Nazis.
So, real quickly, just so that we have a sort of synopsis on here, your quick thoughts on Captain America.
I thought it was dumb. And I know it's supposed to be dumb, but it's not the kind of dumb I enjoy. There's a certain... I'm very particular about what kind of dumb I enjoy.
He's very picky about his dumb.
So, I mean, look at you two. But that's my thoughts on Captain America. Like, and the thing is, I didn't mind it watching it. But there's just parts of it where it's like, this movie's dumb. Like, I literally sat there and halfway through the movie thought, wait a second, this isn't very good.
Yeah, kind of like it sneaked up on you.
Yeah, it's like, hold
this
on.
Is okay, no, it's not.
I think it's all the henchmen.
Yeah.
Because it's very much like 80s, like, falling over railing kind of bad guys. Like, they get shot and they all look like you. I'm pretty sure it's the same 10 guys.
I did like that they, the thing that film did right, I thought, was just sort of established why anybody would care about this dude.
Right.
And, like, I felt like the central character of Captain America was very well captured.
Right.
The story could have been a lot better, I agree.
Yeah.
But Chris Evans is actually, I think he was a good...
Yeah, he was fine. And, like, the whole cast is good. Like, I have no issue with the cast or... It's just the way it was put together. And it is, like... And like I said, it's all the stuff that ties into the Avengers whole thing. Doesn't seem to fit with the aesthetic of that film, which is kind of a pity. Like... I feel like they're making all these movies leading up to another movie. And that seems... Like, I would rather than just make one good movie. Like, make a good movie out of this. Make a good Iron Man movie out of Iron Man. Don't make a Thor movie for another movie that I have to sit through. You know? That's what I would like. I'm sure
they're not gonna, because they're making it with a mind... towards
no, I know, but
making as much money as humanly possible.
I know, but that doesn't usually make good art. I want a high art Captain America.
You want a high art Captain America. Good fucking luck. Well, go ahead. You know where it is and when it is.
Well, on Thursday.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We have a Thursday horror picture show.
And what Thursday would that be, though? That's
this Thursday.
This Thursday, July the 28th.
Yes.
Okay.
Check my watch.
At 8 o'clock.
Yes.
In the Cinema Lounge.
Yes, at the Caroline Asheville.
Yes. On Hendersonville Road. Yes, so. And the movie this week?
It's 28 Days Later.
Oh, the Danny Boyle.
Yes.
Not a zombie picture, but close enough for me.
Zombies. I don't see how you make the argument that it's... I mean, I understand, but...
I know people who will. I know people who go on for pages about how they're not zombies. I don't care.
But there were zombies before the zombies they're saying are zombies, right? You'd have a better idea of
the film cinematic history of zombies. It's very
because it wasn't always The Walking Dead, was it?
No, in fact, usually they weren't even really dead. They were artificially
right.
They're like in a trance.
So
you're using
so
some
Night
sort
of the Living Dead is not a zombie movie.
It's some sort of Haitian voodoo nonsense.
Yeah.
Not nearly as good as the stuff in Shrunken Heads, but you can get the idea.
So, as far as we're concerned...
We'll call them zombies, yes.
Yes.
Now, tell me about this, because this one was your idea.
But it was my idea.
I'm not opposed to it. No, not in the least. But it was your idea to show it. I don't mean that the movie itself was your idea.
I wish. I wouldn't be doing this.
That's true.
No offense, guys, but let's be honest. Like I said in my review, it seems, looking back, it's kind of, and having finally, like, I guess a few years ago we got around to seeing The Beach, and I never saw that other thing that you hate.
A Life Less Ordinary.
Right. It's 28 Days Later. Yeah, well, 28 Days Later is sort of the movie where, I guess, Danny Boyle really figured it out. He got a lot of, there's all that buzz around him after Trainspotting. And
yeah.
He was sort of just making... stuff that was clever and not necessarily good. But this is where he combined the two. He made something that was...
Well, I don't have anything against Millions. Which
no, that was after.
Was that after?
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
So it was like 28 days later, and then he went on this run of...
28 days later
stuff.
And then Millions. And,
yeah. And so... And he did it with a horror movie, nonetheless. Which I, at the time, I had a theory that... I don't know. I'd have to think about it, but maybe you can shed some light as well, but... Do you think there's more good horror movies made by people who don't normally make horror movies?
I'd have to think about that, but there may be. And that may
just
be
just because you get that fresh perspective.
Yeah, at the same time, though, and I look at people like James Whale and Todd Browning, and it's kind of like the argument seems a little shaky then.
Well, Whale wasn't... had made... movies that weren't horror films.
Yes, and in fact, he didn't particularly like making horror pictures.
Right.
That was something that Whale came to the horror picture because all the scripts that were offered him, you see, he had left the company that he made Journey's End for because all the scripts were terrible. Right. So he took Universal up on their offer to do Waterloo Bridge. So he signed a contract with them, and all their scripts were terrible. The only thing that was even remotely interesting was Frankenstein. So he took Frankenstein and immediately got typecast as a horror director. So he ended up making three more horror pictures.
We don't know how Danny Boyle came to make this movie, I guess. We could probably research it, but
probably
we're
could,
lazy.
But we haven't done that, so. Because, as you say, we're lazy.
Though I do think it, for a while I had the idea that he was going to make every genre he could. I guess still he might be.
I was going to say, he hasn't really made a musical, though aspects of Slumdog, I guess, come close. Like
well, he's got time.
Yeah, he does. He's fairly young.
Yeah, so. So it's sort of, it's a zombie movie.
It's a zombie movie.
Except
it's a really good zombie
yeah.
movie.
Because it's not really about the zombies. I mean, they're but it's not.
And it's also better acted than most horror pictures. You know, you've got three really strong leads in this film, and that helps a lot. So, I mean, it's gory and scary, and it's none too original. I mean, it's a blend of I Am Legend, the novel, or the film versions of it, Last Man on Earth, or Omega Man, and it definitely has a big chunk of Day of the Triffids. The whole waking up in the hospital to a deserted London thing—that's pure Day of the Triffids.
But I don't have an issue with movies taking things from other movies or ripping them off, as long as they do it well.
Well, it just uses them as a jumping off point.
Right.
In this case, it doesn't really, you know, it really has nothing to do with Day of the Triffids or I Am Legend. It's,
right.
Anyway, I'll be interested to see if people show up to see it.
Well, it's. I think it's one of the. I went back and looked at your original. No, I looked at your. I looked at your original review, and then I read your review of 28 Weeks Later.
Uh huh.
Just to refresh myself on that, because it hasn't lasted as much as that one, where you called 28 Days Later, with quotations, an instant classic, and I think that sort of. It has become sort of in its own way.
Yeah,
a
probably,
classic
probably.
Horror film, at least of the over the last decade, I think it's one of the.
Well, that's
the
true.
And
I've definitely given up trying to prognosticate what people will show up for.
But I think it. I mean, most of the newer stuff, but I feel like it's one of those movies that everybody's seen. But I don't know. Maybe it's just.
It's hard to tell, you know. I mean, what did we show last week?
Kiss of the Vampire.
Yeah, you know. And it was close to packed.
Right.
And they always like those Hammer things when they get... But the thing about it is
that... But nobody's seen that. So I don't know if we run something, we're pretty sure everybody's seen. If everyone... But I mean, I want to watch it. I don't care.
We had a... You know, it wasn't... We had a fairly good turnout for The Ring.
Right.
It wasn't like...
Right.
It wasn't like I
but
had...
But it's one of those movies that's sort of like, at this point, kind of beloved, I think... I might be wrong in that, but we'll see if...
I guess we will.
Yes.
Okay. So, what else is there?
We have the Asheville Film Society next week.
Oh, that's also in the Cinema Lounge at the Carolina.
August 2nd, correct.
August 2nd, yes, Tuesday at 8
Which
p.m.
Which starts the Ken Henke August of Self-Indulgence.
That's right. The the five reasons why Paramount was the greatest of all Golden Age studios. And we're starting with Ernst Lubitsch's.
Because people were... Why did you decide on this as a theme, even though you've been against
I've been against themes, but it's a different kind of theme, because it's not like we're focusing on... It's not like everybody goes, oh, God, I hate Ernst Lubitsch, I'm not coming for 5 weeks. It's not, oh, God, I hate the Marx Brothers, I'm not coming for... It's got diversity.
The only thing it doesn't have is
diversity. There are people, trust me.
Well, they shouldn't be coming to these.
I know that, but what it does have is it has diversity. The only thing that it isn't diverse in is all the films were made in between 1932 and 1934. Right. So, I mean, it's
so it really isn't the argument that they were the best studio for 3 years?
No, I could have gone further into it. I just wanted to pick the cream. And I didn't stick with the exact cream, though, because I picked a Lubitsch, and I picked a Sternberg, and I picked a...
Marx Brothers film.
A Leo McCarey.
Right.
And then I picked a Marx Brothers film and a W.C. Fields film. Now, the Marx Brothers, I went with Horse Feathers rather than Duck Soup, because we'd already had Leo McCarey. The Leo McCarey film that we have is Belle of the 90s, and that covers Mae West as well. But that means that I couldn't pick Duck Soup without picking two Leo McCareys. I didn't want to do that. And the Fields picture is A. Edward Sutherland. So I kind of wanted two pictures that were made by journeymen.
Right.
You know, basically just good, competent directors to show that it wasn't just the big guns at Paramount that were turning out better films than you could find. It was everybody was basically turning out better films than you found at other studios. So that's kind of the logic behind that. And if you want a Mamoulian, because we didn't have a Mamoulian there, we do have, during the same month, we do have Mamoulian's Jekyll and Hyde on the Thursday Horror Picture Show. So you can sneak in a sixth Paramount if you want.
Sneaky Ken Hange.
That's right. And
but what's this week's film?
This Lubitsch's Design for Living with Frederick Marsh, Gary Cooper, Miriam Hopkins, and Edward Everett Horton. And it principally, it's an adaptation in which the only thing left is the premise, the title, and the phrase, good for our immortal souls, of Noel Coward's play, Design for Living. It is about a design for living. It is, amazingly enough, for a 1933 film, and even in pre-code time, this is really pushing it, it's about a menage a trois. It's played kind of in a way that downplays the possibility of an actual threesome, but at the end of it, that is obviously this is where it's going, is where it's got to go, this thing is going to work out. It's funny, it's witty, it's very pre-code, it's very stylish. I cannot imagine not liking this film unless you are somebody who worships at the altar of Noel Coward and cannot believe that anybody would take Coward's play and do this, I would say, with it as opposed to it. But those that worship at the altar of Coward would say, to it.
What is coming up?
Well, let's see. There's
the return of
Jean-Claude Goddamn, a Van Damme in Assassin's Game.
Assassination Game.
Assassination Game. I was close.
Which is apparently a four-waller starring Mr. Van Damme.
Are you sure it's a four-waller?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you explain what that is? I know what it is, but...
Ken, would you explain it to
it's
me originally.
It's where a distributor actually rents out the theater and pays an agreed-upon sum to have their movie in your theater.
I don't know if anybody's supposed to know that. Does it matter?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's an old practice. I mean, almost all those religious movies come under that heading. It shouldn't shock anybody.
But there are a number of films that have subsequently become major releases.
This is not going to be one of those.
This might be where it starts, Ken.
This could be the actual return of Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Right here.
Yes.
We could see it. It's a revolution.
Well, I will say the trailer looks agreeably stupid.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know why it's all yellow and looks like it was shot through a window in my house because of all the tobacco staining. But what else? What else is opening?
Cowboys and Aliens.
Cowboys and Aliens, the film that everybody I know seems to be all jazzed about seeing. And
Cowboys
I'm
love
like,
getting anally probed.
That's right. Gets lonesome out on the prairie, you know? I mean, it's, you take what you can get. No, actually, almost everybody I know is all keen on this, and I'm not against it. I'm not for it. My overall feeling in the matter is that it is... if anybody can do it, Jon Favreau can. I mean, he may be the only person that could pull this off. What I'm hearing so far, the early reviews are very good. I expected them to be. But what is interesting is that the early reviews are also suggesting that it is really more a Western than it is Cowboys and Aliens. And it really adheres to the Western form far more than a science fiction picture. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays. The cast is good. The concept is okay. It's not like... You know, there's a friend of mine once time was going to write an article called Strange on the Range, and it was about all of the various things that, you know, have been in Western films over the years. So really, Aliens, you know, after Billy the Kid versus Dracula, Jesse James meets Frankenstein's Daughter, Valley of the Guanji, there's a Ken Maynard Western, the title of which I am forgetting, out of the 30s, that is so bizarre. It's not really... There's nothing about this that makes it seem like an outrageous idea. It should be a natural. But is it really anything more than a stunt and a really clever title? Cowboys and Aliens. Why not Cowboys and Aliens? You can't do Cowboys and Indians anymore.
And that's based on a comic book, is it not?
I don't know. Is it? Not that I've noticed, but it could be.
The whole movie's racist. It's aliens.
Anti-aliens. Yeah, it's about Mexicans.
And then... There are others.
Oh, Crazy Stupid Love comes out this week, which looks possibly good.
Well, I didn't realize... I never even saw a trailer for this movie till today.
Oh, okay.
And then I didn't even know who directed it until today.
Those the guys from I Love You, Philip Morris.
Yes, which immediately made it more interesting than...
Well, the thing about it is that you look at it and say, wow, that was quick. And then you realize, no,
I Love You, Philip Morris
was... 2-3 years for I Love You, Philip Morris to get a distributor.
Right. This one did not take as long.
No.
And it's getting a summer release.
And it's got a cast that, you know, you got Steve Carell, Julianne Moore, Ryan Gosling, Emma Stone. Emma Stone seems to be, you know...
A hot commodity.
Right now, I mean, she's
going to be
movie,
in that next... That...
One more movie out soon enough, and this girl will tie Gene Hackman for most movies in one multiplex that I've ever seen.
Well, we'll have to wait for Spider-Man.
That's true.
In.
Ah, well... So that probably isn't going to happen. But nonetheless, I'm interested. I'm officially interested in this one. Page one we've talked about, and then there is the movie From Hell.
The Smurfs Ken.
What about them?
I don't know.
I am convinced.
I didn't like the cartoon when I was a kid.
I didn't see the cartoon. I'm too old for it to have seen it as a kid, but I didn't like it.
So
it looks like Alvin and the Chipmunks with small blue creatures. The whole thing is depressing. I hope Neil Patrick Harris got paid really well for this because it's embarrassing.
I don't know if he's really.
I don't know. Whole thing is that really this is some sort of really well hidden brand of homophobia. You come out of the closet, they make you do the Smurfs, they make you do musical numbers, bad musical numbers on the Oscars. This is, you know. They
so
give
gay
you,
people do is...
They give you supporting
musicals.
Roles
That's
in
what...
bad CBS films. You get to replace Ryan Seacrest. I mean, this is really some sort of hidden agenda, I'm convinced of it.
Because that's the only place America will accept gay people is singing at them and dancing.
That may be.
The minstrel show. Anyway, I guess that's it.
I guess that really is all that's coming out since we've already talked about page one. So.
Yes.
So I guess that's probably it for us. And as before, I'm Ken Hankey, the movie critic for the Mountain Express, and you are?
Justin Souther, the other film critic for the Mountain Express.
He's classier than I am. I'm a movie critic. He's a film critic. And
I only criticize the most top-notch
that's right.
Works of cinematic
that's
art.
That's why you're going to watch the Smurfs, right?
You said you were going to watch the Smurfs months ago.
No.
Yeah, you did. You said, I'm watching
no.
Smurfs. Yep. It might be on... I'm going to dig through some tape. Because I watched something and you were like,
oh, God.
I'll watch the Smurfs.
Yeah, but I'm watching the other two, too, so it doesn't leave you with anything then now, does it?
You don't have to watch the other two.
Yeah, but if I don't review them, I won't watch them. That's the trick.
Neither will I. Why do you get to watch them?
We'll discuss
this. How about
this.
That?
We'll discuss this.
I don't want to watch the Smurfs.
I don't either.
So Ken gets, because he wants them.